temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
What a game this is, Paul. Steelers, Cowboys. In, what is this, Super Bowl 9?
10.
10. We just saw Terry Bradshaw unleash. That's a top five easily throw in Super Bowl history. That basically won them the game. He put it, it was a 64-yard touchdown pass in the box score. He must have thrown it 70 yards in the air while he was getting hit and concussed and leaving the field. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's exactly what happened.
So he's sitting there at 9 for 19 for 209 yards and two touchdowns and no picks. And you were asking, does he get enough credit? Why isn't he ever in the conversation of greatest quarterbacks ever? Is it because of his stats?
It's because of his
then?
Numbers, yeah. It's because of his completion percentage and his interceptions. But here's the thing. To your point, he wasn't dinking and dunking like the quarterbacks of today.
Right.
And he was throwing the ball down the field.
I'm not sure if I had one game to win, he wouldn't be my guy. You know why? Because he has the guts to deliver that kind of pass.
Right.
With a game on the line.
He did it he did it in that game. He did it in the 35-31 game, and especially in the Rams game.
Yes. Those deep balls won them Super Bowls.
Yes, exactly. But not just that, like you said, he had the guts to stand in there and do it.
How about LC Greenwood in this game?
I mean, there's a lot of people that want to try and say that Ben is, you know, the greatest quarterback.
Like it's not even a discussion.
It still is
a discussion.
I don't know that I agree with that. I think you win four in 6 years. You know what I mean?
It's just the way it was. Right. Look at the best quarterbacks back then. Tarkenton,
Staubach,
whoever Plunkett. It was, their numbers
were what they. Was Plunkett the guy with the Raiders back then? Or
yeah, a little bit later he won Super. No, Stabler's another
Stabler,
one.
Stabler, yeah.
Go look at all their numbers. If you put Ben back then, or anybody, Peyton Manning or Brady, they would have the similar crappy sort of overall numbers compared to today. And then if you took Bradshaw and gave him a quarterback coach when he was 6 years old, and then he goes into all these systems and plays in the NFL, you better believe he would put up unbelievable numbers.
Here's my
thing. Plus, he was a great runner.
Here's my thing.
He was an animal when he ran the ball.
Here's my thing. I don't do hot takes, right? So I'm prefacing this by saying this is somewhat of a hot take. I think if the Steelers this year with this roster had Terry Bradshaw in his prime, I think I'd pick him to go to the Super Bowl.
I don't think that's a bad take.
Because I think that being able to throw the ball down the field like that and get big chunk plays, and you have a mobile quarterback like him that could run around and then – hand it off as much as he needs to hand it off to take. I'll be honest with you. I think the Steelers would be a real problem.
That's another thing he never gets enough credit for, is he set his ego aside. He called the plays, for God's sakes. He doesn't have somebody standing on the sidelines like they do in college nowadays with gigantic signs or some offensive coordinator coordinating everything.
Right.
He's calling the plays, and when it was necessary and needed to win, he called Franco's number over and over and over again. He was regarded like, you know, ripped as being a dummy. The guy was very smart when it came to how to win football games. He called the plays.
Yeah.
How about LC Greenwood with four sacks in the Super Bowl? Why isn't that ever talked about? Did anybody else ever have four sacks in a Super Bowl? Limits? Can you look that up? Most sacks in a Super Bowl. I know sacks weren't an official stat, but every time I look up at the screen, he's putting Roger Staubach on the ground. The guy was incredible. He should be in the Hall of Fame, Paul.
Because that was the unofficial numbers, and sacks weren't officially credited yet. Grady Jarrett, Coney Ealy, and Darnell Dockett, as well as Reggie White, all with three apiece.
So this guy's got the record for sacks in a Super Bowl.
Dockett had three for Arizona in the 09 Super Bowl against the Steelers, Super Bowl 43.
He was great in that beast game until he needed to be. But then again, Paul, what Ben did in that Super Bowl with an offensive line that had
a horrible offensive line.
Hartwig, Chris Kimoyatu, Darnell Stapleton, Willie Colon. Oh. No offense to any of those guys, but Ben overcame an offensive line to win a Super Bowl. Go back and watch some of the plays on the winning drive.
Right.
The way he's moving around.
Every play, it seemed like he was running for his life a little bit.
Phenomenal. All right, into the mailbag we go as we get ready for the 1 o'clock hour. I want to dive into some AFC North stuff in the 1 o'clock hour. Which single player in that whole division is under the most pressure? This is in the wake of HBO featuring this division in Hard Knocks later on this season. So this is intergalactically red, as City Limits knows.
From here to Uranus.
Good point. Let me ask you this question, Paul, and this came from a man named Rono, Tony Rono, perhaps. He says, can you share the most challenging weather conditions you've ever encountered while either in the stands or covering a game professionally? Paul? You must have used to cover high school games where we kept our own stats in the stands.
Yes.
That was a nightmare.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There was a game. There was a game that I covered, and I'm trying to think of where it was at. Was it at it might have been the Wolverina.
Yeah.
And
temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
It was... Did the Wolverina have a real small press box? I don't think actually one of these places where there was a real small press box and there was really nowhere for me to sit.
Yeah.
So I had to be out on the field. And it started out okay. And then about 5 minutes into the first quarter, the sky starts to fall out. And I have paper because, you have to keep your own stats. And play-by-play when you do, because you know, my paper is soaked. Now I have like a plastic bag over my hand, in the hand. You know, if you can imagine, my hands are in a plastic bag because I'm trying to write on this paper that's soggy. You know, it's ripping when you're writing. You know what I mean? It was by midway through the third period, I was freezing cold, even though it was like a September night. But I was soaking wet to the bone. I was standing in like this much water and mud, and every time you walked up and down the sidelines, I've been there. That was the most miserable. Let me tell you something. That was one of the most miserable experiences I think I've ever had in a football game. I don't know if it was at the Wolverine. It was somewhere over in the East. Might have been at Penn Hills, or I forget where it was.
That's what you do when you're paying your dues. I was there too. These kids, some of the kids I taught at Waynesburg, like, what do you want to do? I want to be a play-by-play. They think they go like straight to the Penguins and start calling games. No, you got to go down and any opportunity you get. And if it's football, if you have to sit outside in the stands and keep your own stats and cover games, that's where you start.
The first game that I ever announced was during the pandemic. It was Baldwin, Seneca Valley. They had no room for us in the press box. I called it from the end zone with a monitor next to me and not even a headset. I just had a little stick mic that I had right in front of me and called the game from there.
You were a stick figure in that game.
Like Easton Stick or Crowley. Yeah,
Easton Stick.
So when I was at the Vineland Daily Journal, I was the assistant editor. Assistant sports editor was basically another way of saying you're a sports writer, but we are also going to make you edit stories and all the other stuff because it's a small newspaper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we had a stringer we sent out to a game, and he. So what happens was I would cover a game on Friday night. I'd come in, right? I would write my story real quick. Then I'd have to edit the Stringer stories, you know, and lay out the page and everything. So he comes in, and I notice he's got his tape recorder, and he keeps hitting the button and stopping and then typing, hitting the button, stopping, typing. After about five of it, I was like, dude, what are you doing? Here, he got to the game, and he locked his keys in the car, and he didn't have a tablet or a pen. So he got the genius idea to do the play-by-play into his tape recorder.
That's actually smart.
It's not when you're on deadline and you got to come back.
But what else was he going to do?
I told him, dude, just make up the stats.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we talking about here? I'm like, you understand, we have a half an hour to get this downstairs to be printed.
Oh.
And for every like minute that we're late, it's X thousands of dollars. So this story has to be sent in 50. First of all, it has to be sent to me in like 57 minutes so I can read through it and edit it in like 2 minutes and get it down there. So, but yeah, he's like, what am I going to do? I said, here's what you're going to do. Listen to that thing, right? As long as you get the scoring plays right and the right names on who scored, nobody's going to care about all the other stuff, right? So the box score was very interesting. And of course, you know how it is.
You got calls.
Get phone calls.
Parents, coaches.
ADs. Both ADs called to say the stats were wrong. And I was like, oh, man, you know, I'll have to go back and look at it. I said, could you send me corrected stats? Well, no. Okay, well, then what are you calling me for? Yeah, that was a special. That year at the Vineland Daily Journal is where I really learned how to do this job, because I had to take photos. You know, we didn't have like a bunch of like the cameramen. Every so often we'd have a cameraman be able to come to whatever event I'm at. But for the most part, I had to take photos. I had to lay out pages. I had to edit stories. I had to edit headlines. I had to write stories. I had, you know what I mean? And then the ultimate was the outdoors column was literally like this old, you know, redneck who would send it in. He would drop it off on Mondays, and it was on about like 8 yellow tablet paper written, you know, two lines that like that's how big he wrote. 2 lines for each sentence, you know what I mean? And it was basically just, you know, some nonsensical story about him and his buddies hunting or him and his buddies fishing. And
I had to take the deer kills out of the Valley News. They would call in. I didn't know what they were talking about.
Right.
I got a 4-point buck. What does that mean?
He would write these stories.
You get points for how many? I didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
He would write these stories about how they were fishing, and he had, like, you know, nicknames for all his buddies. You know, and Cooter, he thought it was really funny. Huh? He called me this. Huh? I had to type it into the system. I had to type this thing here and make it somewhat readable. Like, you know, I had to try and leave as much of his voice, so to speak, in it, but I had to make it so it was like English, you know, so people might be able to read it. So I go to the editor. I said, dude, can't we find someone to do an outdoor column that is actually an outdoor column?
Can type.
And he said, this guy's been doing it for almost 40 years. So it's just the way it's always been done.
He's probably still doing it.
He might be.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up, as you saw earlier this week, HBO going to have the Steelers on Hard Knocks along with the other teams in the AFC North. Let's take a closer look at this division as we head into training camp with questions such as, give me the single person, I don't care if it's player or coach, under the biggest spotlight, under the most pressure in this division heading into the season. I'll ask Paul and City Limits all kinds of questions about the AFC North.